A little Jackson Browne for you on this Tuesday. Someone with a J name as well, Jeremy Janine, joining me. That's a weird segue, wasn't it? I don't know. Some days you just say stuff.
It all went together. I'm good. Happy Election Day.
Happy Election Day. Always good to see you, of course. Tuesday here on the Political Power Hour means Jeremy Janine. UrbanMilwaukee.com is where you can find their great local reporting on all things in the state and in Milwaukee, and some fun stuff as well. All right, let's start with a couple really specific stories. I'm going to read the headline. You can explain it to all of us. Police departments, I'm assuming that's Milwaukee Police Department, closing unlicensed driver loophole. Explain.
Yes. So credit goes to WISN Channel 12 here. Reporter James Stratton really broke the story open last year. You get pulled over. You've never been issued a license, which is hard to believe why you're driving in the first place, but apparently there's plenty of these people on the road. The police issue a ticket for that very thing. The first offense is a municipal ID. You don't get hauled off to jail. You're not supposed to drive away, but I don't know that the officer sits there all day to make sure someone drives you away.
Right.
The problem is that then flags your license as suspended, which is where the loophole gets created. You get pulled over a second time. You never pay that first fine. You've again never had a valid driver's license, but the officer then sees, oh, you have a suspended license. Well, a suspended license is just another citation. The officer gives you a ticket. You don't pay it. Officer drives away. You're not supposed to drive away, but you probably do. They identified, James Stratton identified an instance where someone had like 30 unpaid citations because the officers, when they were pulling people over, did not have the right IT system and were not spending the time to scroll down the list to be like, oh, the original offense, we can arrest you for this and take you to the police station and get you off the street.
If you know who caught this and why was this allowed to be the case for however long it was the case?
It's a bad IT system, it seems like, in the car. And not that the whole thing is
in the
bad.
Cars, the, yeah, in the police cars.
The police car, DC's license suspended, and they moved to act and issue a ticket. Well, now the policy is being changed. Officer, read through the entire list of offenses to make sure that they're not that they actually don't have a driver's license at all. And then subsequent offenses now issue a state arrest instead of a municipal citation.
So real life, real time, that means instead of letting them go on about their way and having multiple, you know, incidents, they are now arrested.
Yes. And they get released, but all of a sudden they're in the court system. You're eventually going to get a warrant. You're in the state court system where the penalties are they're actually real penalties, unlike these municipal penalties where it's an IOU city of Milwaukee and people have 30 of those outstanding.
It's interesting. This change, which I think is a good change, that we have a new DA in Milwaukee. We have certainly an increased focus on these sorts of issues. Is it a case of better communication across agencies and departments, or besides the technology piece? It seems like something, a light bulb went on and said, this is not right.
Yeah, well, the encouraging thing about the communication between the DA's office and the city is, so these are standard operating procedure changes. This is the kind of the guidebook that police operate off of. A key thing they've added in addition to closing this loophole is this reckless driving envelope, which is all the documentation the DA needs to actually prosecute the case. There will not be, if all goes according to plan, this issue where the DA goes, well, I don't have the details I need to prosecute the case. Okay, let him walk away. So now that should be tightened up. It's going to create more paperwork, clearly, but it's getting everything in the right place.
We'll get back to the police in a second. I want to just take an early break here because I want to get to MPS, an audit of MPS that's sort of revealing about the scope of the issues facing the state's largest school district. Jeremy Janine, UrbanMilwaukee.com is our guest for this entire half hour. If you have comments or questions, fire them off. Siding Unlimited, WTMJ Talk and Text Line, 855-616-1620. 940, right here on 620 WTMJ. Happy Tuesday, everybody. We're talking to Jeremy Janine, UrbanMilwaukee.com. All right. We've spent a lot of time on this program and this station and, frankly, all around this community talking about MPS, the problems that have plagued this largest school district in the state. Well, one of the things that happened as a result of some of the issues was an audit of the school districts. I think the governor allocated, what was it, $8 million? They spent, I think, 5.5, according to your reporting, on this audit effort. What did it reveal?
Yeah, so we got essentially half of the audit, because there's actually two audits the governor issued. Operational audit, kind of the administrative side, and then there's an instructional audit still coming. I think they spent actually $2.5 million on the two of them together. we got an audit that reveals, and I'm going to quote from it, a culture of fear and a reluctance to change. And this is at the administrative level.
That's a hell of a quote, Jeremy.
Yeah, to come out of an audit, which is usually this prim and proper thing to the auditor's MGT to come in and say, yeah, you have problems here with cultural issues. And then there's a lot of other problems that they identify.
So we can identify that this is a problematic state's context environment for MPS. They are not beloved by a lot of people anymore. It is the largest school district in the state. They are in a school district that is serving tremendous numbers of children who are at risk and certainly not surviving in the way we'd like all kids to survive, not learning in the way they would all like to learn. But some of the things that they talked about was creating this sort of central system and restructuring the central office. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, the one thing that I thought was encouraging about the report is anyone could go, MPS has problems.
Right.
That's obvious at this point. So the report really, despite these damning criticism, did not spend a lot of time on, here's all the things that are wrong. It spent a lot of time on, here's some explicit fixes you could do. It had 29 of them. It had three goals. And these are really broad, and then they actually get detailed below it. But and this is what you're getting at. Create a coherent central system.
Yeah.
Foster meaningful communication and collaboration, and operate and fund strategically. So one of the things they found is, hey, your HR department, it's falling apart. Like, you need to invest in making that better. And that's not just throw money at it, but here are specific items you can do.
When you were talking about the communication, they specifically mentioned in the audit, I'm reading from your story at urbanwalkie.com, the working relationship between the board and district leadership. That's also very problematic because those two sides or two pieces should work together coherently and efficiently, and that seems like it's not the case.
Yeah, the report seemed to identify issues with who's responsible for what, and like when they talk about those two sides working together better, we're seeing this at the Housing Authority of Milwaukee, which is another troubled agency. Of you need to define actually who's in control of what and what the expectations are. And with several new board members coming in, the outgoing board just hired a new superintendent, there's a good chance for a reset, which is one of the things the report hits on.
One of the things that concerns me, because I continue to be irritated and agitated by the fact that we have lead contamination in a lot of different places, including residential home, but also now in school buildings, apparently, or buildings owned by the district. Why do we continue to have this issue when there are clearly ways to fix it? And I guess the answer is always money. But last time I checked, we have a state surplus. And this is me just giving my opinion. If we have a state surplus and we have a identifiable issue with lead contamination in this place or any place in the states, it sure as hell should be our responsibility as a governor and a legislature to fix that immediately. Yet here we are still talking about the same issue.
What was frustrating, I've been reporting on lead issues since, I think, 2018. Yeah. When I went on this deep dive when Mayor Barrett relieved the health commissioner of his duties for failures of the program. The problems in MPS, it was frustrating to read the report that came out of the health department. They're so obvious. Just simple cleaning would make it so much better. When you see paint bubbling and crackling and peeling away, that's just obvious source of lead contamination. And it's something that you could throw money at it and try and fix it, but MPS needs to operationally get better practices.
Now we're going to shift to another story here in a second, but is this a case of MPS, those different sides of the organization, basically not agreeing on how to fix things or just not interested in solving these problems because it's, you know, another day, another school, another kid?
One thing the people that conducted the report have audited several different districts and they had peer districts. One thing they highlighted about Milwaukee was the frequent turnover, not just at superintendent, but at all kinds of leadership positions. And when they look at kind of the practices that just continue to break down, it really does seem like there's a problem of culture at the top where the culture isn't being stable. It's consistently turning over. So if someone wants to right the ship, they need to stay around to actually right the ship.
And hopefully the new superintendent will do that. All right, quickly on SROs, Judge David Borowski last night, basically, he's had enough. He was using Matt LaFleur references in some of his comments. But the bottom line is this. The state law requires the SROs. It did last year. It's still, we're already February of this year. And he's issued a sort of a deadline now where sanctions could be issued. But he said basically to the city, you're going to pay half. School district pays half. Get it done. Do you think anything is going to change?
I think that was the most important thing he did, was in terms of getting police officers back in school, is defining the cost. Because MPS in the city had been loggerheads on figuring out
that. He set a baseline for them. This is what's going to happen. Do it.
Yeah.
Will they do it?
I don't think they'll do it with that 10-day window, because they just don't have the officers trained, and it's going to be tough to be like, okay, 25 officers come in, but there are
challenges. Here's an idea. Milwaukee Police Department, MPS. I know that there's training involved in being an SRO. In the interim, to honor the judge's request, put the officers in sort of a early introductory role. This is how this is going to feel like for students, staff, everyone involved in MPS, and we are going to start the process. That sort of entry into a collaborative relationship, and what I would think is actually a clear demonstration of community-oriented policing, which I think is important, would be a good first step, and it would actually show the judge we're serious about this.
I agree. It would definitely show the judge you're serious about that. There are two issues with that, two options you could take. One, you could fund it with overtime, just pay officers to work extra shifts, or you have to make the difficult decision right now. Just, this is a decision today. It's not a decision you need to make 6 months from now. Of what 25 positions are you cutting at the moment to get those officers into school? And this goes back to the challenge we've talked about with police recruiting.
All right, some questions about ICE, that agency, and a facility in Milwaukee. We'll get to that with Jerry Magin. UrbanMilwaukee.com as we wrap up the Tuesday edition of Political Power Hour, 620 WTMJ.
The Upswing with Jeff Sherman.
We're talking with Alex Wenzel from Lion's Tail Brewing Company. You have a yoga partner. Is that just in Tulsa or is that in Neenah too?
Yeah, we try all different kinds of things. You never know what's going to work. Bingo. And we do an Oktoberfest up in Neenah and food trucks all the time. You just keep trying things and trying to reach different people and see what works.
Everyone's doing beer yoga these days.
Weekdays from 10 to 11 on WTMJ. Presented by Horicon Bank. The natural choice for all your banking needs.
Hey, this is WTMJ Steve Scafidi for Heiser Automotive. Yes, Heiser, driving that beautiful 2023 Chevy Silverado. You can actually buy it out from underneath me. Just go to their website, Heiser.com. You can see it. Beautiful glacier blue metallic color. It's the perfect truck for winter. And I was a Ford F-150 guy, which they also sell at Heiser. But I love this Silverado. All the bells and whistles. You know what? When you wake up and it's -4, whatever it was this morning in Oak Creek, and you have the heated seats and the heated steering wheel. Technology matters, folks. Use it. And all of their vehicles have those options now. All kinds of great technology. Find out for yourself. Go to Heiser.com or go to one of their five great locations. Check out their vehicles, pre-owned or new. They have all the great programs that you would expect from Heiser. I love talking about these things. Safe and Sound program, vehicle exchange, roadside assistance for life. Always be safe on the roadways. All the things you do at your dealer, whether it's appointments for service, oil changes, maybe you need some body shop work, all available at Heiser.com. That's why they say every day, today's your day.
Church and Chapel Funeral Homes. Your family, your memories, our priority. Church and Chapel Funeral Homes. There's one near you.
The largest industrial trade show in Wisconsin for engineers, facility managers, and building grounds and maintenance professionals is the PFMA Plant Engineering and Maintenance Expo. Free seminars, product and service demos, and the latest innovations all under one roof.
Skip the show day lines and go to PFMAINC.com for fast and free pre-registration. The PFMA Expo. Free, with free parking, February 19th and 20th at Washington County Fair Park in West Bend.
We love being a trusted friend in the community for those who need an attorney but don't know where to turn. Our clients aren't the kind of people who typically bring lawsuits. Our clients have been hurt in a crash or accident and need our help and advice. I'm Jeff Zergabell of Pasternak and Zergabell. Frank Pasternak and I are injury lawyers living, working, and giving back in our community. When you need help from exceptional personal injury lawyers, go to Pasternak and Zergabell at injurywisconsin.com.
Hey, WTMJ's John Mercier here for Landworks. Take a look outside and imagine the yard of your dreams. What do you see out there? Thriving plant life, immaculately edged beds, beautiful, healthy blooms. I got this at my place. It's thanks to Landworks. Take the guesswork out of your green space with landscape services from a good local company, Landworks. Their personalized landscaping plans are carefully designed to make your property shine throughout the season. Plan it now. Now's the time to contact Landworks today. The teams I trust in my yard. Landworks, Wisconsin. WTMJ.com.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee.
From the Annex Wealth Management Studios,
this is News Radio WTMJ,
a Good Karma brand station.
Fly me to the moon.
Oh, love me some Frank on a Tuesday. Actually, I love Frank any day of the week. Frank Sinatra. Old Blue Eyes. All right, Jeremy Janine in studio. Let's go out. Let's power out. This is a big story because of what's going on in the country, the sort of the roundup of people in this country illegally. This one, the headline, ICE can build whatever facility it wants to in Milwaukee. I learned something in reading this story, Jeremy, that the government could come in and basically change the rules for zoning and all the local, you know, rules about how things are done.
The federal government and the state government, to a great extent, can just show up in your community and say, we want to build this here. And what Milwaukee officials just learned is, yep, they sure can.
What are they talking about building?
So this is a case for ICE, as best I can tell, of just terrible timing. There is a very justified concern about what's happening with deportations. But ICE has been trying to, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, has been trying to relocate its Milwaukee facility, which is right now on the edge of the MSOE campus, out to the northwest side since 2023. Well, they finally really got the ball rolling in about October or November of 2024. And we all know that there was a big election and immigration was a key issue there.
What do we think is going to happen here? They're going to go forward.
I don't think I even sent this to you. As I published late last night, the federal government's finally dotted their I's and crossed their T's. They submitted a letter that said, yes, we are the tenant that this private company is going to have. The General Services Administration said ICE is going to lease this building, so therefore we can exempt ourselves from your zoning and building code. They have to follow a national, international building code.
On the 40,000-foot view of what's going on around the country, what are you hearing locally about people who are being apprehended and then removed? Do we have a lot of these cases here? Because I've certainly heard about Chicago and other places.
I have heard what is the truthful instances of what's happened. I've heard almost nothing. I've heard of lots of paranoia and justified paranoia.
I've heard no specific stories related to this.
We've gotten some sensational stories about a Spanish-speaking family that was deported and turned out not to be true. We did have this high-profile visit to ICE by an MPS employee last week. They were allowed to stay. They've been here more than a decade, and they are, it seems like, a legitimate refugee from a South American country.
This is, you know, you could probably say this about most news stories, but this is one of those to be continued, because this obviously is high profile for the new administration, the second administration of Donald Trump. This one will be continually focused on. I'm sure that at Urban Milwaukee, you'll stay on this story.
Absolutely.
Jeremy Janine, UrbanMilwaukee.com is where you can find the great work. Always appreciate the sit-downs. Thanks for being in studio today.